have to give a CBTV 1 minute before we start. So we're starting our 1 minute here. So please continue to chit-chat for 1 minute.
I like being in my in the mix. I really do.
I was just telling
her. Around you, behind you.
It's hard to stay focused on just one thing at home.
Oh, right.
You always have to do something on the way.
As long as you're on Facebook, you're okay.
Oh no, part of my job is
so. Oh, I'm on every day. Every day, absolutely. But yeah, you know, if you don't, I remember years ago telling my brother-in-law, he was a fan of Dr. Forever. He said, you know, where did God talk to your grandkids? And he was worse.
I wouldn't put it past today. It's been one of those days.
Somewhere between this and trying. Oh, I forgot the flip top.
No, Tom, no, you cannot do that.
Usually I wait to get a phone call from Chubb. Would you please bring in your phone and screw it up for this?
What?
We'll give you a new one
we'll
for
you
free.
Get you a smartphone.
I'm in the process, I think, of changing providers. I'm not happy with AT&T.
No, I switched back to Verizon.
And I think that's where we're going to go. So we have to get it by three new phones. So.
Get better reception. I remember one time we were up in St. Helens.
Evidently, I lied to you. The 1 minute starts now. Okay, our minute is up. So thank you for coming to the joint meeting with the Clark County Commissioners as well as the Clark County Commission on Aging. I would like to welcome you as a guest with us, and I hope you find the presentation and the comments extremely beneficial for you as we present our second annual report for the from the Clark County Commission on Aging. In order to keep you guys awake, we do have two short films that we're going to be showing, so that should pique your interest. And there will be a test after them, so keep that in mind. One of my favorite quotes is from Theodore Roosevelt, which says, "This country will not be a good place for any of us to live unless we make it a good place for all of us to live." I would hope that we, all of us can agree that what is good in, for Clark County. And I'm going to use a new term I found out the other day, which is called active agers. Some people don't like calling being called seniors or elders or something, so we can look around the table and you can tell who the more active agers are, is good for our community. At this time, I would like to personally welcome and thank Commissioner Melke for chairing the Board of Clark County Commissioners, and especially as personally thanking him for helping us in meeting with the chair and vice chair and providing his insight and his experience with the Commission on Aging. And thank you very much, Commissioner Melke. It's been a pleasure. Would also like to welcome Commissioner Medora and thank him for his continued support for the Clark County Commission on Aging and for serving our community as a commissioner. Thank you very much. And lastly, I would like to welcome Commissioner Barnes and congratulate him on his appointment to the Board of Clark County Commissioners. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
I would also like to take this opportunity to personally thank Patty Gray and Kirsten Ware for agreeing to serve with this group, the Commission on Aging, for another term. As you know, some of our people we had used and abused, and so they have coming back for it again, and some of them decided not to re-up their term. So again, thank you, Patty and Kirsten, for that. I would also like to welcome two wonderful individuals that have stepped up to serve with the Clark County Commission on Aging, and they are Dr. Bill Ritchie. And he is a resident of Clark County since 1972. They tell me that you've raised three children and enjoy five grandchildren. And Bill has a long history of serving our community, from founding Crossroads Community Church and School to launching a new 501c3 devoted to boomers and beyond. So we appreciate your expertise on coming onto our commission. The second individual is Scott Perlman. Scott is relatively new to Clark County. He brings a wealth of knowledge with over 22 years in the health as a healthcare executive. Scott will bring his regional presence to the commission as well as a background in mental health issues. So we're proud to have him with us. So again, welcome and thank you, commissioners, for being a part of our group. Thank you very much. At this point in time, I would like to ask for a motion and a second to approve the agenda that we have before us from the Commission on Aging.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second it.
Okay. All of those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
No? Any abstentions? The motion carries. Thank you very much. I would also like to, we've had a chance to review the minutes dated May 20th, and is there any corrections or addition to those minutes? Hearing none, I would ask for a motion to approve the minutes in a second.
To approve the minutes.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All those in favor of approving the minutes dated May 20th, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
No. Any abstentions? The motion carries. At this point, I was going to offer a chair report as I normally do, but I think that we would like to go ahead and join the commissioners as well as the public and present our second annual report, which I'm very pleased and proud of, and so we would like to continue to do that. And again, I want to thank the public for coming and to be a part of this presentation. So we're going to start it, and it took me a while to figure out what this sign, I thought they were doing sign language, so I tried to figure out what they were signing to sign out. So I wasn't bright enough to pick out that this is 2014, so hopefully you have. On behalf of the Clark County Commissioners and the Commission on Aging, we are pleased to present the second annual report to the community that we serve. I want to again personally thank the Clark County Commissioners for their continued support for the Commission on Aging and actually having the vision to be on the cutting edge, realizing that only with community involvement can Clark County realize its true potential. I would like to also thank Representative Paul Harris for his continued support for the Commission on Aging, as well as serving on the Washington State Joint Legislative Committee on Aging, in which the Clark County Commission on Aging was able to go up on May 19th and do a presentation to that group. The Commission on Aging could not function without the continued support from the director and staff of the Clark County Community Planning Group, and the Commission on Aging is extremely grateful for their support. Last, I would like to thank my fellow commission members for their insight, ideas, and ability to vision a community where each one of us can make a difference. So we're going to turn it over to Kirsten, and this is going to be an interactive type of presentation for you from our commission members.
Thanks, Gary. Can you all hear me all right? Okay, great. So we talk a lot about community in our work, and the question is, you know, what does community mean to you? It's a subjective thing, obviously. When we think about community, we're thinking about different groups, possibly religions, neighborhoods, areas in town. You know, we think about the people in our community, our own parents, our grandparents, our friends and neighbors. And with the Commission on Aging, what we mean when we're talking about community is a livable community. It's one that has affordable and appropriate housing, supportive community features and services, and adequate mobility options, which together facilitate personal independence and the engagement of residents in civic and social life. And what we've learned is that when we take all of these components and we put them together, that the output of that is a livable community for all ages. So why are we even talking about livable communities? Why is it so important? Gary?
You can tell we've had assignments to do this. Many of you know that we've had so many people in our society that are living longer. Older adults have many names. One of the new names I gave you, which is active agers. They're also called baby boomers, silver tsunami, elders, and seniors. As the baby boomer generation, which actually is from 1946, individuals born in 1946 through 1964, as they reach retirement age, one in four Clark County residents will be 60 or better. However, our aging society is not just about baby boomers, but Generation X will likely live longer, as well as the millennium generation. The baby boomers have been referenced as a pig in a python, and we're going to see a little video here shortly that explains a little bit about that. But looking forward to the future, social changes could be predicted as the large coherent move through school, the workforce, parenthood, and into retirement. And I can tell you, as the baby boomers and active agers, they're going to be a more of a force on not aging as their past parents and grandparents have, but really directing a new future in aging for America. So we look forward to looking at what those demographics will show, as well as all future generations will likely add to the aging, cutting edge things going on in aging by future generations. It's been said that the boomers will be an introduction into what we call a permanent shift in the aging of our community. So for example, individuals used to say 65, 62 was the normal retirement age. We expect to see that pushed out to more to 65 beyond to 70. And these individuals will be coming back into the community as a force that will be able to help individuals with future generations. There's a new term we heard from last month from a speaker called Jane Bloom, who has put together some livable community programs for the state of Hawaii. And he has called it, instead of retirement, he is terming the new thing returnment, which means individuals will retire from their current job, but will come back into the workforce or into volunteerism as a way to give back into the community. One of the examples he gave was Intel Corporation, who actually will allow their retirees come back into the system if they were willing to donate at least 2,500 hours per year to a nonprofit or to a public entity. For that, they receive a $25,000 stipend, and they have received 6 months of COBRA payments. So as you can tell, I think these individuals and companies are finding that the older individuals have a lot more to give back to the community than just stopping at 62 or 65. We'd like to share this 4-minute little video with you. Some of you probably have already seen it, but it's quite interesting, and it certainly was a hit up at the Joint Commission with the legislatives. We actually got their attention on this one and held it pretty well. So we'll see it now.
Never However, in human history, so many lived so long. Data suggests that if we reach 65 years of age, it's likely we'll live to 85. We're living longer, and we're having fewer babies.
The age is obvious about the fact that you have larger portions of people over the age of 60 than you have who are under the age of 15.
And it's not just America that's an aging society. Europe, China, Japan, we're an aging globe. An aging society isn't just about old people. It's not just about baby boomers. Gen X will likely live longer, and so will millennials.
The baby boomers are an introduction to what will be a permanent shift. It is not the pig in the python. The large snake that swallows the pig, and you see that ball is going through the snake and then coming out the other end eventually. Well, ours never comes out the other end. This is a permanent state we're now in. A remarkable shift.
And the shift will utterly transform our society. How and how long we work. How and where we live. How we organize our families, medical care, economic and political lives. How we organize our thinking. This will give you an idea of what's ahead. Right now, about half of us live in the suburbs, and it's where 75% of older Americans live and want to continue to live. But the suburbs were designed in the 1950s for young families and the car. There's a disconnect there we have to deal with.
It's an old rule of thumb that if you can make the community work for kids, and if you can make the community work for the elderly, then it will work for everyone else.
Same with how we work. We think of 65 as a retirement age engraved in stone. When Social Security was enacted, only 62, 3 years less than retirement. Today, we can expect to live about 15 years beyond traditional retirement age.
There isn't anything in the psychology literature that suggests that it's good for people to go on vacation for decades.
Even if it were a good thing, few of us imagine retirement as a vacation anymore. Most of us haven't saved enough, and we're all worried, for good reason, about Social Security and Medicare. What if we reimagined our standard life goals? We think of it now in three age-segregated boxes, age 0 to maybe 25, childhood and education, age 25 to 65, work, and more of it, raising a family, always crunched for time, age 65 and beyond, little work, lots of rest. What if we imagine that that third box would start just 3 years before life expectancy today, say around 75, not 65? What if we work less in the middle of life and longer at the end? And what if we looked at aging and even our own mortality square in the eye?
Children in American society historically have only suffered losses that relate to their parents for the most part. But today and tomorrow, they're going to suffer the losses of great-grandparents, of parents, of grandparents, and so on.
So here's the point. The world we live in, the people we've become, demographically speaking, are way different from 1935 or 1950 or even 1970. But our institutions, economies, policies, Social Security, Medicare, our communities, work, all were designed for who we were 50 years ago. They don't work for us today. So, are there rough waters ahead?
When we think about an aging society, everybody's worries. Oh my God. You know, they write articles about defusing the demographic time bomb. Why is there an assumption there is no upside?
Maybe because the upside requires change. Change we have to design, legislate, wrap our heads around.
As a psychologist, I'll tell you the very first step that is really essential, and that's that we begin to envision new models, new ways of being, new lives.
How will we come of age in an aging America? The conversation begins.
Are you awake? The video emphasizes the importance of planning for our community's future and accepting the notion that change will be necessary on all of our parts. We are lucky to live in a community where our leaders, such as our Clark County commissioners, have made this a priority and begin the conversation with us back in 2010. We were working with the Aging Readiness Task Force. We had the adoption of the Aging Readiness Plan, and it followed by the initiation of the Commission on Aging. The meeting was first held in June 2012, and we had 9 members of the commission. We worked and established 7 working committees. 5 committee focuses are now in play on the 5 chapters of the Aging Readiness Plan. They are healthy communities, housing, transportation mobility, supportive services, and community engagement. The additional 2 are a benchmarking committee to measure the plans and progress and success, and a communications committee to establish and manage a speakers bureau and raise awareness about the commission's work. The past year, the commission has focused on several projects that work towards fulfilling the goals of the Aging Readiness Plan and ultimately to make of making Clark County a more livable community for all ages. So what are the 91 strategies? The Aging Readiness Plan identifies the 91 strategies. And you can tell I'm from the South when I have a hard time saying strategies, about how the commissioners can improve the quality of life for all ages. We find that the strategies in play work extremely well to help us develop plans that we will need in our future. Every strategy in the Aging Readiness Plan has a classification of either short, which is 0 to 3 years, medium, 4 to 6, or long-term goals of 7+. And each of these strategies actually require a great deal of research, coordination, and with volunteer and community support. We have been extremely lucky in the past to have such wonderful partners and individuals that have volunteered and helped us through the process. We expect to complete some of these strategies in the near future. We already have completed several, and they are in our plan as well. Task Force members started working on very pieces of long-term strategies, and we'll talk a bit about some of these tonight, such as universal green design, while other community partners are leveraged community support. They help get, this group helps get the enthusiasm to get projects rolling, including some of the programs that we've been very successful at, such as PACE, which is Programs for All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly. This has been a wonderful program that's been established with the Peace Health System as well as Providence over in Portland. What this does is bring the care coordination for an individual all under one roof. So for example, the individual that comes into this PACE program, they're primarily Medicaid clients, but they can come into the program and have their doctor visits the same place. They can have their social services conducted by individuals there. They can have socialization there. And in some programs, there's actually built housing for low-income Medicaid housing that is built toward this model. So we're very pleased that Peace Health has stepped forward and begin offering this program in Clark County. Now we would like to really concentrate a little bit on what we've accomplished this past year, starting with our advocacy, awareness, and education efforts. At this point, I'm going to turn it over to Lisa to share those with you.
So over this last year, the commission and our community partners have worked really hard in raising awareness on community issues and solutions that we've had locally working with other leaders in the community. One of the things that we're very proud of is that Governor Inslee invited us to come up and participate in the Aging Summit. That was very successful, and there's going to be a lot more opportunity for work in the future. We were asked by Leadership Clark County to come out and present to their graduating class on how they can be involved in their future on helping us age very well. You know, we go anywhere that we're asked to speak, and Gary has been working very hard on getting the Speakers Bureau up and going. Some of the community events for the rest of this year is we're going to be at the Recycled Arts Fair. We'll be at the Clark County Fair for a day project. We go around and we talk to each one of the cities and talk to their council and get their feedback and awareness of what we've been doing and what they would like to see out of the commission. So the partnerships that we've had with Arion Agency and Disabilities, I just know I'm a SWAT, I'm sorry, and Senior Lobby Days and things have been remarkable. So there's a lot more work to be done. We're always looking for more community members. We all go out in the community and much as we can. The next strategy I'd like to talk about that we completed is the telehealth, telemedicine. And one of our past members, Randy Shield, took this on and held a forum at Peace Health, and it was really well received. It was a free conference. And there's gonna be a national conference. If he would have stayed, we would have liked to have sent him, but he had other bigger things to do, I guess. No. But what every one of the rural communities, when I went out, and I'll be going again this year, is the resounding from the cities was they want telehealth for their communities because their population wants to stay in place out there. The other one that they, and you'll hear more about later, is time banking. So when I go back this year to give our next report, I'll be able to tell them that it is moving forward, that insurance companies are learning how to reimburse for that, because that was the big stumbling block for me. So with that, I am going to let Bob talk about housing.
Housing. Any successful community needs to have a successful, affordable housing option. The idea of shared housing was listed as a strategy in the Aging Readiness Plan and actually meets goals related to housing, but also engagement. Home sharing is a simple idea. A homeowner offers accommodations to a home sharer in exchange for an agreed level of support in the form of financial exchange or assistance with household tasks or both. The community is also a beneficiary of home sharing. Shared housing makes efficient use of existing housing stock, helps preserve the fabric of the neighborhood, and in certain cases helps to lessen the need for costly chore care services and long-term institutional care. The home sharer might be a senior citizen, a person with disabilities, a working professional, someone at risk of homelessness, a single parent, a person wishing to share his or her home with others. For people, sharing housing often offers companionship, affordable housing, security, mutual support, and much more. Home sharing can often be a more secure alternative to other housing options. This particular project is one of our success stories, and we're looking forward to kicking it off later this year.
Great. I think if we need to add a little bit to shared housing. The shared housing concept has been around for a while, and Bob's been very instrumental in working with a group, a nonprofit, to come into Clark County and set up the program. There is background checks done on everybody. There is individuals that will help them come in and talk a little bit about how to interview potential housemates, how to set up contracts, how to do all of that. So I think it'll be a very good tool. What we're finding is the demographic is usually individuals in their 40s and 50s that are needing some help with maintaining a home, the financial aspect of it, and have actually gone through some type of action within their lives, such as a divorce, or their children have left, that sort of thing. So it's been a great program, and Bob has been excellent and been the cheerleader for that, and we actually have that up and running. here in Clark County. Chuck?
Universal Green Design Idea Book. So our first little product that we cut out. And I'd like to just first, I think, just say thank you to Karen, who is on our group, Mr. Jim Wilson, and of course, Colette Anderson, and there's been a few others who's on the group also over the past two or three years with the development of this product and some others. Why Universal Green Design? Well, basically because it just makes really good sense. And this book provides really good basic ideas and information to both those who are remodeling and to builders also. We're planning on using this idea book and other pieces of information for that we have and training individuals like going to neighborhood meetings, the builders, and we have a great interest that's coming from our real estate specialists out there. And even maybe the commissioners will come and visit you too. So, with that, in 2014 and 15, we will be doing more and more education about universal green design. Universal green design, and I'm just going to step off this a little bit. Universal green design has been around for a long, long time. It actually was a concept that started back east over 25 years ago. And it has finally made it out here to the Pacific Northwest. And we are now applying it to homes here in the county. And again, like I said, why? It just makes good sense. And it came from a concept dealing around persons with disabilities and trying to provide just very good access for them. I'm also going to just share with you, I'd like you to open up your book to page 11. Well, that's going to kill me here. And this is dealing with entries and doorways. Something that we all know about, right? Now then, most homes are built with 32-inch doorways. 32-inch doorways for myself and a whole lot of other individuals are very difficult to get through. 36-inch doorways are better. And as you can see, there's a little illustration there. We have a little picture there of a guy trying to get the mattress through the doorway. I think we all can probably relate to that one. But a 36 or even a 42-inch doorway makes just a lot more sense for being able to get around in a home, get things through it, all of those kinds of things. So that's just one of the ideas, one of the concepts that we have in the idea book.
I thought you wanted to bring attention to the wonderful looking model in the picture on page 11. The next topic we're going to talk about is time banking, which is, we're going to show a short video on that as well to explain a little bit better about that. When we talk about time banking, it's very similar to the barter system. And I think that one of the things that sparked my interest and my passion for time banking is because this allows community to help community. And I think that's very important. And you'll see more of that when we talk, when we look at a actually a news story that was done on ABC with Diane Sawyer about a couple of months ago of a community in Kentucky. So the concept is, and I'll run a little scenario here is, so for example, again, the time banking, we are checked, background checks and all that is done. I want to assure the volunteer organizations out there that we are not in competition with the voluntary associations, but more of a support system and a complement to them. So for example, if I have a specific talent that I can go offer services and bank hours into my time banking. So for example, I'm a great weed puller, so I can certainly go out and take care of lawns and do something like that. So if I have some, if I go out and do that for someone that needs that service, I can bank the 5 hours. Two things can happen. I can either utilize those hours to assist me if I have like a child that needs a tutor, and the tutor is brought in to help my child up to 5 hours. Or, which I think this is an absolutely wonderful concept for business organizations and for individuals, I can donate those hours to anyone else within the program. So for example, if my neighbor next door is an elderly individual on a fixed income and needs a plumber but doesn't have the funds to do that, I can use my hours to come in and help them out. The other wonderful thing about this is we have organizations that are truly great at volunteering and allow their employees to come out and volunteer. So for example, if a group of individuals from a faith-based organization, or we have a commercial bank here in town that allows and pays their individuals 40 hours per year to do volunteer work. If they're with Habitat, for example, they do a project with Habitat for Humanity, and the whole group puts in 20 hours, they can bank those 20 hours and turn around and redonate those back to Habitat for Humanity, who, if they need an electrician or someone else with a specific care, a specific skill, they can have that individual come in and do that work for them, such as bookkeeping, such as anything else onto it. So I think it's an excellent, excellent program, and I'm very pleased that we have, as a commission, taken a task on seeing how we can certainly help start the program in Clark County. It will not be housed with the Clark County Commission on Aging, but hopefully with a partner that can grow it and to see it fruition through our county. I think it's a great concept, and I'm quite excited about that, and I've been speaking to the business community as well as to individuals, and I think there are a lot of individuals that like this because they don't have to guarantee to a specific hour or date or time. They can pick the jobs they're very good at, do them, and then turn around and utilize the hours themselves or donate them. So anyone can earn credits by contributing to others, they can pass them on, which we've talked about. So this allows for groups, and I'll reiterate that, groups that have within their organizations the ability to put together groups to donate time or to do projects. Time banking can have a project if someone needs their yard taken care of because they've gotten a notice that it's not being kept up well and they don't have the funds in order to do it, and they might be an older individual that doesn't have the physical ability to do it, that project can be done through this program. So we're going to keep your attention again, get your attention again, by showing you the little clip that we saw on ABC News with Diane Sawyer regarding the Kentucky Time Banking Program.
And now our biggest real money yet. Hundreds of families in my hometown, Louisville, Kentucky, are saving thousands of dollars every year on home repairs, things they need. So how are they doing it? ABC Chief Business Correspondent Rebecca Jarvis, take us there.
It's morning in Louisville, Kentucky. Our first stop, the babysitters.
All right, so we're going to go meet Laura and Frankie. Hi, Laura. How are you?
Laura is babysitting one-year-old Frankie.
Hi there. there for 3 hours. Her charge? Free.
I watched it. It's been really, really fabulous.
Across town. Now we're going to go see a photo shoot. Becky, a professional photographer, is taking Gwen's family portrait. Her price? Also free.
How much do you think you're saving?
At least $250.
So, what's the catch? Laura, Becky, and hundreds of their neighbors are doing something called time banking. Instead of paying with money, they pay with their time. And everyone's time is equal. It's organized through Time Bank USA, a national group that helps communities get started and track their time. And time banking is booming. Now in 42 states in just 3 years, the number of time banks across the country have nearly doubled. For example, get your oil changed in Kent, Ohio, medical services in Allentown, Pennsylvania, your computer face in Los Angeles, California, and your bike repaired in New York.
Open up for your heart.
And back in Kentucky, how about a yoga class? Remember our photographer, Becky? That's her at neighbor Jody's studio. And down the street, Linda uses her time dollars to visit local chiropractor Dr. Hahn. Medical care Linda says she could never afford otherwise.
I don't have money to go to a chiropractor. I mean, I feel wealthy. Sometimes better with time bank, and I don't have cash.
And the cycle keeps going. Home improvements, carpooling, dog walking, even jewelry repair. In just one day, our family saved a grand total of $1,480. And for this town, it's not just money, it's a whole lot more.
And all of this organized through the website timebanks.org. And there are very few restrictions on what you can contribute to the time bank. If you have a skill, you can offer it up in your community, see if there are any takers. And Diane, the one thing everyone there told us, this isn't just about real money, it's also about real friendships, and they are real proud of their hometown girl, you.
Thank you very much. Hello back to my kind of town. I'll tell you that. Thank you, Rebecca.
So I hope that does a little better job of explaining it than I did, but I think it's a great concept, and certainly I'm very proud of the work that we've done so far in doing that. I would like to thank personally Kathleen McLaughlin, who is one of our commission members who is retiring. She is the one that actually came up with the time banking concept for us to look at, and has been very instrumental in bringing it to this point. So thank you again, Kathy. So I'm going to turn it over to Karen.
Thank you, Gary. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the ongoing weatherization program. We have received a grant for the coming year, so the program goes on and more of our residents can be served by making their homes more efficient. The weatherization program creates healthier places in the built environment, and kind of remember that because I'm going to come back to that at the end of my presentation. In the built environment is critical to livable communities. One of the projects we are working on is the 60-plus weatherization program. Retirees spend more time at home and often use more energy as a result. As a worker, you set your thermostat at a lower temperature when you left in the morning and back to about 70 degrees when you returned in the evening. While you commuted and worked, the temperature was several degrees lower for 8 to 10 hours a day. Now you're home during those hours and keeping the temperature at a comfy 70 degrees. You're also using lights longer and electrical devices more frequently, watching more TV or spending more time at the computer. You've just added 40 to 50 hours a week more energy. That's pretty substantial. Multiply that times a month, times a year, and you can begin to understand how important it is to make our homes as energy efficient as possible. We, the Commission on Aging and Clark Public Utilities, are currently working on continuing a community energy and efficiency grant program that focuses on improving the energy efficiency of homes in moderate income areas of Clark County. We focused the last two funding rounds on households with occupants older than 60 for the reasons that we just talked about. They're home more and they're consuming a lot more energy than we did when we were off working every day. We have, are continuing to use our three targeted neighborhoods where we weatherized this past year. Those neighborhoods are Marion, Forest Ridge, and Burton Ridge. And the reason that those three neighborhoods were targeted is because they have a good population of residents that are 60 or older, and they are also homes that were built in the 60s and 70s, a lot of them, most of them. And the energy efficiencies that we can gain today from new devices and improved technology were not available at the time that those homes were built. So making them more energy efficient will make the lives of the people who live in those homes much more comfortable, and will also be good for our environment and save us all money in the long run. The CEE project, and that stands for Community Energy Efficiency Program, was funded by the U.S. Department of Energy State Energy Program and the American Recovery and Investment Act. Clark County, City of Vancouver, Clark Public Utilities, received one of the first of these grants a couple of years ago. So Clark County continues to be in the forefront of a lot of really exciting community programs. As the CREEP pilot wrapped up in 2012, our partner organizations had already helped thousands of Washington residents and small business owners save significant energy and money. To leverage this significant community investment, the 2012 Washington State Legislature provided the WSU Energy Program with an additional $15 million from the capital budget to continue this program. And so once again, we are very fortunate in this community to be able to avail ourselves of that and reap the benefits of it. I would like to point out that year to date, there have been 235 ductless heat pumps installed in these three target areas. There have been 301 homes that have been weatherized thanks to this program. So it's a wonderful program, and my hat is off to Clark County and its partners in bringing this opportunity to our community. Now, just to go back for a minute to the built environment that I was talking about, when we talk about healthy communities with the Commission on Aging, we are talking about the built environment. And I'm going to just go out of my lane for just a second to say a couple of words about another aspect of the built environment that is really important to the Commission on Aging. We can do all kinds of things as we age to our homes to make them safer, to make them more comfortable, and to make them accessible, more accessible to us as we age, to accommodate the various infirmities we might develop along the way. But in spite of what we do to the interior of our home, we must always, as a community, look to the exterior if we want to be sure that people can enjoy life as they age to the fullest. And what I'm talking specifically about are sidewalks. I talked with a lady who lived in the Marion community last year, during last year's weatherization program, and she told me that she felt like she was a prisoner in her own home. She had made her home as comfortable for her as she could as she aged, and she was happy with what she had done with her interior, but she had no sidewalks, and therefore, because she walked with the aid of a walker, she just couldn't be mobile outside of her home. So that's an area that the Commission on Aging is very, very interested in trying to promote better sidewalks in communities that need them. Better sidewalks. Some communities don't even have sidewalks. They just have roads and gravel, shoulder on either side. And those certainly can't be used by older citizens safely. So now I'll step back into my lane once again and say hooray to Clark County for the weatherization program, but let's not forget that there are other parts of the built environment that we need to be looking at as well to make sure our seniors are safe and secure in their homes.
Thank you. Bob?
That was a good lead-in, Karen, to what I'm going to be talking about. Zoning, zoning is a very complicated issue, and it requires a great deal of quality planning in order to make it what we really need. Sometimes our local city and county land use codes prohibit or discourage certain types of developments in neighborhoods. Some of our current land use codes are single-use zones, such as single-family residence or all commercial. This does not provide for development of complete neighborhoods, which there is a healthy mix, or there is a healthy mix of housing, services, amenities within a close proximity of one another. Other codes do not allow certain types of housing in residential neighborhoods. For example, assisted living facilities or co-housing developments are not allowed in single-family residential area zones. However, what we heard from the community was that single-family resident zones, however, we heard from the community that with single-family is a reason for no longer living in the neighborhood you are currently in, and next best thing is to be able to move within your community. It is also currently expensive and challenging to develop accessory dwellings and duplexes. The Commission on Aging is working on the process to revise certain codes to encourage more variety of housing choices and provide a more complete neighborhood within our community. The goal of this is really an all-friendly, livable community, and that's the goal of this project.
Thank you. And Patty?
The Commission on Aging is charged with advocacy, awareness, and education. One resounding message that was heard during talks with the community about the county's readiness for the aging demographics is that there needs to be better communication that informs people of services that are available and programs that are available, and involves and empowers people to better their own communities. The Commission on Aging is continuously working on improving the communication network to educate people about the things they want to know regarding aging in Clark County. We also know that we can't do this all on our own, and that we need the community's support. The more we inform and raise awareness of the needs of our community and the efforts underway to improve our neighborhoods, the closer we will be to making Clark County more livable for all ages.
Thank you. The next slide we have is some opportunities for help. And so what we've asked on the state initiatives when we met with the Joint Commission on Aging, we asked them to universal design to encourage the International Code Council to develop a regulatory framework with those codes. And small steps can be taken on those. For example, when Chuck and Colette and then went out and met with the remodelers and builders, when they redesign bathrooms, they're now putting, and you can probably help me more, a joist, is that the word for it? In between the framing that will allow an individual, if they need to have a handbar or something placed there, they have a secure way of doing that. That's a very minor change, but people don't tend to think about that. And so I think that by having these in there, there will be an excellent tool. There are small steps that we can take that will really help individuals as they age in place, and I think that's very important. The other one is the telehealth, telemedicine. And with the telehealth and telemedicine, it's such a cutting edge technology, but for example, when we held our conference last year, we had experts from Spokane and from OHSU, as well as local providers here, that allow. So, for example, if a patient is being discharged from a hospital after open heart surgery, they will go home with like an iPad that they can touch and have 24-hour access to an individual that can answer their questions that is trained as a medical profession. This cuts down on going back into the emergency room and rehospitalizations. This is very important within our rural counties, part of our county. Also, that can also help on doing routine doctor's appointment visits where they can touch a button, be accessed into their doctor, talk their case over with, do all of that without having to leave their home. As we know, individuals living in rural communities have struggles with transportation, ability of friends and family to take them to doctor's appointment, and this would totally do away with that prospect, away with that barrier. The other thing that I think is interesting is that the insurance agencies and reimbursement providers are not realizing that if you have a doctor on one side and you on the other side, that this is in essence a consultation with your doctor and will not pay for that service. So the state legislature can actually change that and really require individuals when they do telehealth to actually allow for reimbursement for those telehealth doctor's visits that they need. The other one is continued weatherization funding for our community. And then the local initiative is for support for the time banking initiative, as well as other programs that we deem appropriate for the Clark County Commission on Aging. So that's our presentation on our annual report. And I would like to open this up first to questions from commissioners. If you have some that you would like for us to answer or we've not been clear on or doing anything, we'd certainly entertain those at this time. Our comments. Would love your comments.
Not sure. I would like to be able to thank you for thinking through each of these things and actually putting feet on them, making them happen. The support from the commissioners, I assume, is at the degree where you want it. And the question is, how can we do better? If there be any way that we could tune things up, just absolutely let us know. Because you notice we're getting there too.
Exactly. We're all aging, so I think we can agree on that as well, to do that one. So does any of the commissioners have comments with regard to that? Our Clark County Commission on Aging?
If you might, I might.
Okay,
I'd like to compliment you on a well-thought-out, good work in progress. We can always do better. We always want to serve more. And it's a great, great program. And we just need to keep the feet to the ground and keep up the good work. Pretty awesome.
Great, thank you. Commissioner Barnes?
A couple of questions we need to ask you. What did it have to do with PUD or furnishing weatherization and heat pumps and stuff like that? Is there a money limit that the person qualified for that have income brackets and stuff like that?
The program that I was referring to serves moderate income households. There is an income requirement, but unlike what we're used to, where you can only earn so much, for this program you have to have a minimum monthly income at a certain level, and I can actually provide you with that chart if you would like to see it in terms of what the income levels are. So the requirements for the program to participate is you must be an owner of a home in one of those three neighborhoods that I called out. You must be able to meet the minimum income requirement, and your home must be electrically heated. Right, yes. And I should have made clear when I was speaking earlier that the three neighborhoods that are targeted are the same neighborhoods that we serviced with the weatherization program last year. And the reason we're going back to them is because there's a limited amount of money, and there was a waiting list of people that wanted to participate in the program last year beyond the funds that were allocated. And so we're going back to that same neighborhood again so that hopefully all of the people can be served. And if you're a low-income resident and don't qualify, don't make enough income to be able to participate in that program, there are some other programs that perhaps you could participate in. And the Clark County Public Utilities would be happy to help you with that.
The other question I would ask you is that I know the senior citizens like to get out there, but I know like you don't see things within the county and other places, you know, they just don't want to stay home all the time. And if there's a facility in town that say like the Clark County Historical Museum, basically that does not have a very good entrance for wheelchairs or people with disabilities to get into, how do you folks go about looking at that? Because the electric workers and the building trades over the last year or so have completely renovated the inside of that building, but one of the things that they lack is a way for senior citizens to get there. So is there a way that you can get funding in order to help? I know they don't have the funding to do a major project like that. Is there a way that you can help them?
Well, we would certainly like to think that we could. Actually, we have three commissioners here who would probably be better able to answer that question than we. We have big plans and zero budget.
I think what we could help Commissioner on that one is to assist them with hooking up with the individuals that could write grants, could bring some monies into the community. We certainly... we've got a fundraiser guru over here and Lisa, who just did a fundraiser for SWEEP, which is a elder abuse prevention program, and raised $30,000 for that program. So I think that we as personal commissioners could assist in some of those areas due to our expertise in doing that. But you're absolutely correct. It's very difficult for the older individuals with wheelchairs or walkers or anything to make it in some of these buildings, and so it's extremely difficult. Chuck?
Yeah, along with that, that was a number of years ago, and I was very fortunate to work with them on that project, and as far as the elevator was concerned, the lift and in the back, and when it comes to our historic properties and everything, those tend to be easier to go after grants for, because there's a lot of federal grants are out there for those kinds of facilities. But whenever you're talking about newer ones, it becomes more and more difficult to be able to do that. But and back now, geez, maybe 15 years ago. So back then there was just a lot of money related for historic properties and everything. It has become less and less, of course, but we were very fortunate at that time to have gotten a really nice grant to be able to do the things we did with that particular building.
Yes.
So you asked the question, Commissioner, on, you know, what we could get from you. And so one of the areas we talked about was sidewalks. But one of the approaches that we have always adopted and in our mission is, and I'm going to use my terminology of multi-generational, is, you know, we talk about benefiting our senior population, but sidewalks benefit our younger population. So, you know, we have families in my neighborhood. I live out by Jason Lee School. There is not one street in my area that has a sidewalk in it. The nearest bus stop is almost 3/4 mile. And in the winter, we are way off of 9th Street, so we don't get plowed. But up and down my street every day, I must have 25 families with strollers and little kids on bikes and things trying to go either over to Jason Lee School or to one of the other parks. and they have to go on the open road. I know that a couple of you, or all three of you, are very interested in jobs and putting money back in the community. I know that we're strapped, but I really, really would like the encouragement, because I think infrastructure is monumental for our community. It was built on it after World War II. Look what they did, all the vets that came home, all of the women. And it's like we stopped. Somewhere in the 70s, we stopped. And I'm not sure if it's because we were getting to be faster or whatever, but now we have our families that can't take their kids out. Let's don't talk about the aging population that can't even get there. And when it snows or it's rainy or just a little icy, it gets darker. There's not a lot of street lamps in our area. I had a neighbor come over to me the other day and said, Lisa, you know everybody. Could you get our street light changed? And I said, sure. So I called and they said, oh, we will be. I said, you know, could you give me an idea? Because she's by herself and she's a little afraid. And they said, oh, we will be out there within 5 days. It has been over 2 months. The light's still there, you know, out. And that's what I would like the commissioners to address. I mean, I know you have a myriad of things, and I know that we're just one little group. But it seems, I see all of the new sidewalk, the cuts in the sidewalks that are there for handicap. All about that, not a problem. But how do we get them out to go to the store if they're up in the Heights area where they used to be able to go to the Red Apple or whatever, to get to the grocery store, and they can't, they have a family member that's not gonna get them. Or maybe there's a lady that has a couple of little kids that wants to go out and walk in, then her neighbor wants to go too, and you cannot do that in our area anymore. Now, that is a huge swan song for me, but the other part of it is mental health and our lack of facilities and our lack, and that is not for just the aging population. That is for the entire population that we have here. I've lived here for 25 years, had a business here for 15 years, and yes, I'm active and people understand, but and in my population and with what Gary and Kirsten and Patty deal with, there is nowhere for our community to go. You don't want to go up north. We can't go across the river anymore, and we shouldn't have to go across the river. We are not a bedroom community of Portland, Oregon. For God's sakes, we are the sixth largest county in the state. And things need to be done. And so you asked what I wanted, that's what I want. You want somebody to help you go and ring the bell, call me up and I'll be there. But that's what, in my humble opinion, that's what we need.
I'm glad you brought that up.
And now you know why we raised $30,000.
I'm sure that everybody knows how to get help. And so one of the roles that we as commissioners play is we are the frustration relief department.
Really?
Yes.
Do you have a button that you hit?
Okay. And 397-2232. That rings in the commissioner's office. If you tell us about that street light, where it's at, we'll get it done. If ever there's something that falls through the crack, call us. We'll make sure that we play that role. I also want to make sure that as we put this information on the grid, which is every day we have whatever presentations, and I hope you can include the videos and whatever the resources that we shared here. I also wanted to make sure that we include the website where people can go and find more help. And I didn't see it on this, but I did see it on this.
Right.
And it's just simply clark.wa.gov/ag. And I also wanted to point out here that David Kelly is here. He's the executive director of Southwest Washington Aging and Disabilities, where the wonderful agency can help individuals that are in their home, stay in their home, and get the kind of help that they need.
Sure.
So I'd like people to include that website as well on this, on the grid, so that people know how they can get help, so they can stay in their home and not have to go someplace else in order to, or feel like they have to leave their home in order to be safe.
And they have been through the whole process before your time, when Commissioner Bolt, when it was SWAT, I'm sorry, Dave, it's just always going to be SWAT. you know, we had the WSU event back in 2009, and it was, and I attended it, and I just walked out there shaking my head. And they attended everything that we did. They have helped. They are always in support of us. I will admit, I have not been on our webpage for a while. But you bet we offer that up to them, and everybody needs to know, and they do an amazing job, and they don't have funding either. So it is a community. You know, we always hear that when I was a kid, it takes a village, and it's true, and we don't have that anymore. We need to get that back. But we have to show our community and our taxpayers that we're willing to do that and not squabble about some of the things, but really go back to that good old boy environment and temperament of taking care of what we need to take care of.
And I think probably time banking is that's what brought my attention to this one. It really does build community, and it takes no tax dollars in order to put this program into effect. And I think that's probably what we need to go back to. I was very impressed. Louisville, I actually thought this was a smaller community than Louisville, but Louisville's pretty large. But smaller communities have done this extremely well. And I think that would be another issue that we would like. Also, I think support from the commissioners has always been absolutely wonderful, and you guys have done extremely well with us. With a continued staff support, it would be one thing that we would ask. They've been tremendous in helping us get our message out, helping us in developing our strategies and our goals, and making sure that we are trying to stay on task to get things done. And we certainly appreciate you guys, the commissioners yourself, on providing that support for us. The other thing is, I think when the commissioners go out and speak, you need to talk that we have a commission on aging, that you need to tell them that we are looking at aging and how we do that, to go to our website to look at it, and to help volunteer for us as well so that we can build the community as a whole. So thank you again for doing that. And again, Commissioner Melky has been excellent at chairing and meeting with Karen and I, and giving us some insight and expertise in that area. Yes, Commissioner Barnes.
When you're talking about street lighting and stuff like that, for the last 5 years or 6 years, I can't remember, I guess we've got the PUD, they get all these annual awards as being one of the best PUDs in the country. And they have a beautiful website, which David brought up, the website situation. I would encourage you to get that website passed around to the people in your neighborhood and start plugging that into Clark County PUD about the situation with the street lighting and that.
Yep.
And they're very proud of the fact that every time you get a bill from the PUD, you get one of these things. It shows this picture with these little trophies that they get for their excellence in what they do for the community, including the weatherization and the heat pumps and all the rest of that. So I think you get their attention by getting a whole group of people to start plugging that in on the street lighting.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to add that we do have on our website links to all of our partners, like the Agency on Aging and Disabilities and NAMI and the Elder Justice Center. And
I think the other area that is, which Lisa alluded to, is mental health treatment. And I think we're seeing it. I know Sheriff Lucas has had wanting to be involved with NAMI and developing some programs where these individuals that have mental health issues are somehow repositioning back into the community where they don't recycle through. And I think that is an area that needs to be looked at. I don't know the answer, but it certainly would reduce cost, I think, to the Sheriff's Department and to the county as a whole if those offenders weren't coming back due to mental health issues.
Well, we do better all the time. We recognize specialty courts.
Mm-hmm.
We recognize that if you have mental health issues that you're not addressing, it creates a revolving door through our judicial system. So we're better off to address that, and that's what we're trying to do. We have these different things, and sometimes we can be some of the best kept secrets around.
You're right.
And that's what we have to be so careful of, that we work together with other groups of people serving the same way. One of the things that I've seen drop through the boards for the last 20 years, we've never kept up with the low income and disabilities discounts on property tax. It has never been changed for about 20 years, and it hasn't kept up with the cost of living. And that's really important when we talk about keeping our senior citizens in their homes and providing services as you do to keep them in that house. That means a whole lot. and it's based on their income as to how much your property tax is. So.
And that's an excellent suggestion, Commissioner.
So when you go to Olympia, talk to your legislators.
Absolutely. One of the things I think on mental health that we can look at as a commission on aging is partnering with individuals that really are trying to better the community with treatment within the community and support groups and that sort of thing, such as NAMI. And I wish I could remember, what does NAMI stand for? Do we?
National Association of
But they're very good and excellent at what they're doing, and I think that we can partner with that and maybe help keep people out of the prison system as well through that program. So, any other commissioners or the commissioner, Clark County commissioners, have any comments or questions? Okay. Do we open it up to public comment at this point, or does the public have any questions for us? Yes.
Comment anyway. Yeah, Erica Kelly. I'm just a citizen who is getting old.
You're an active ager.
I am an active ager, which really speaks to my point, because I think it's very exciting, all the work that you're implementing here, and using the innovative kinds of disciplines for helping that happen. But what I hear a lot about is helping us older people with the challenges and the problems that we'll have, including the telehealth and the housing designs and so forth, for when we get sick, when we can't cope well. But what I don't hear a lot about is efforts to keep us healthy. And so perhaps it's in the area of advocacy, awareness, and education that can help people who are becoming older, as well as old, stay healthy, help us know where to go to exercise. The sidewalks will help a lot. Yes, and the transportation information will help a lot to get us to the clubs or whatever it is, to get us to the stores that sell fresh food, and that kind of information. So don't just wait for services when we're ill and take care of us, but be better prepared physically, mentally, and emotionally when we get there.
Thank you. It's a great comment. And I believe you served on the Readiness Task Force, is that correct, as a committee member? Thank you for putting together such a great plan and that comment. Appreciate that. Any other comments? Oh my gosh, we get out of here 10 minutes early. All right, Oliver.
Yeah, just quickly, I think what we will be doing as staff and as the planning director, what I will be doing is working with the Commission on Aging to look at your work plan going forward and hopefully coordinate with you effectively as the board is preparing their 2015-16 budget, and I will be making some asks on your behalf, and hopefully because some of this we have done it within our budget and we will continue to do so. But there are areas, as you move forward, that I will be coming to the commissioners and saying, here are areas where I will be asking for, you know, within my budget. I just want to put that in there because we have managed, and I thank the commissioners for their support, and thank the Commission on Aging for your own effort in moving the strategies forward. I'm looking forward to continue to work with the group and hopefully continue to do it within budget and ask the commissioners when the need arises.
Great, thank you. And that also reminded me that I misspoke. You don't get out yet, because I looked at my agenda and we have a few more items here. At this point, we have a treasurer's report from Kirsten. The commissioners might not be aware, but we set up an account that we could raise funds ourselves, it's not part of the county, to take care of some of our programs we have coming in. And so we've opened that up with the local community bank and have had a very good success in raising money. The telehealth conference was completely paid for with donated dollars, and we already have submitted funds to the time banking as well. So Kirsten, turn it over to you.
All right, thank you very much. And that was a great segue, Oliver. So I want to give you just a little history that the Commission on Aging received $7,000 in the biennium beginning in 2015. And so what I've circulated here in terms of report is we have a one-page report that Gary and I will be signing off on today with your approval. And this is the fiscal year report on our income and expenses. Behind that, I've provided for us information on the county funds from the beginning of those, the deposit of $7,000. We've been tracking that along. All of our expenditures since then, and in particular for this current year, which started in the third quarter of 2013, we expended for these for this particular fiscal year for ours, we have expended a total of $2,257.86 of the county money, leaving a balance of county funds of $3,812.20. That money, I want to note, with the county funds, will need to be expended entirely by the end of December for this year. So just noting that for you all. Otherwise, it's just going to go away. So I'm sure we'll put it to good use. We have a budget for that. The other thing I wanted to mention, as Gary brought it up, was that we've created our own account for additional funds. Most of which were restricted. We have some restricted funds that are earmarked for the time banking program through a donation from A Caring Heart. And our balance at Umpqua, and I've provided you with our statement as well as the register, is $2,889.33. So if we go back to the one pager, those two funds, as they're outlined, of the remaining funds that we have from Umpqua and the county, leave us with a balance of $6,701.53. Are there any questions?
Okay. Yeah. Do we move to approve the treasurer's report? Do I have a motion? Thank you, Bill. A second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. Thank you. Next is Lisa to talk to us about our June 28th, 29th Recycled Arts Fair.
We're ready. It's come and see us. We're working in conjunction with the Commission of Arts. We have not had to expend any funds for that. We got our spot for free, and a lot of you are volunteering, and it's going to be an interactive opportunity for kids and anybody on what recycling looks like for them, and we have little recycle things that we're going to be giving out. The other thing that's not on there is that we're going to be at the Clark County Fair for Senior Day, and that didn't cost us any money either, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and that's it for me.
Great, and I saw the commissioners got our little coin purses. This has been the biggest hit of the active agers I have ever seen.
Bring back memories.
They do bring back memories, you're absolutely correct. And so people pick them up for their grandchildren and for everything else, but we certainly have done well in selecting that. Thank you, Lisa. The August 19th will be our Commission on Aging Retreat. We're going to bring back Gary Hadd, who facilitated it last year, to assist us through that process. So he has agreed to do that and will do it help us with that process. The last item we have is election of officers. And everyone should have hopefully thought about what they wanted to do. So. Do we have any nominations for chair, vice chair, and treasurer?
Okay. So I do have three nominations, and I want to preface it by saying that when Kirsten and I served for chair and vice chair, it was for 1 year, and it was exhausting. And I think that you and Karen have done an amazing job, and I appreciate all of that. But I do feel that it's time to let somebody else be exhausted and let you two do what you really want to do. Not saying that you haven't led us in a great spot. So that being said, so I would like to nominate Bill Ritchie for chair and Bob for vice chair, and unfortunately Kirsten's not getting off the hook as the treasurer. So that is my three nominations that I'll put up there.
Okay, do we have any other nominations?
Neither did Gary. He'd only been here a month too. Look what he did.
So you can certainly do that. Any other nominations?
I'll second that.
Okay. With a
second. Sorry, Bob. I'm in Bill.
Okay. So,
I am.
Okay. And does the nominees accept the positions?
Accept. I accept.
What about you, Bill?
I guess.
Okay. How about you, Kirsten?
I accept.
Okay.
Enthusiasm.
So all those in favor of the nominees, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Any abstention? Congratulations, and looking forward to working with you guys in the next year.
Where I come from, they used to go tutu.
So with that said, do we have a motion to adjourn, please?
I'm so adjourned.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay. All those say aye, say aye. Opposed? Okay. No abstentions? It passes. Thank you all so much for participating.
Thank you. I'm going to take my coin purse.
Yeah.
I used to have one in my pocket all the time.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. In fact, I saw one of my grandkids with one the other day. I don't know if it was one of mine or...
I feel bad. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, you have a bunch of chains in there.
If you've talked to people and done it, absolutely.
You guys,
the one? There's no money for it at this point.
I don't know what this means.
I understand, but the time and stuff. Mine's going to be time banked, so I'm not going to do anything else.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Then I will help you.
Okay.
Turn that off.
Oh, absolutely.